Quackenbush and our man Keanu live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654 Roar, if you'd like to get in on the phones. We've got the Adams & Curving text line, the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines for you. And we'd also, we'd love for you to come in today. Brian Edwards scheduled to join us at 1:45. It's going to be great. Keanu, first of all, I feel you've earned this. I feel we can use your last name now. Like intern Keanu, you know, we have to do that for a while. We have to, you know, make sure interns know their place. But now we can use your last name. Keanu Smith is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I am great. I'm glad to be back on the air. It's been about a month since I've last spoke on air. Been on Out of Bounds, so I'm excited to see what we talk about today.
Keanu is responsible for me getting a TikTok and for people wondering, is he really that angry in real life?
Not necessarily. You know, you have to engage and you have to basically clickbait listeners or viewers. So that's how you bring them in, and that's how you get the digital content that you're on all over the social medias.
So we're continuing to grow. Like I said, I got a TikTok yesterday. I messed around with it a little bit. I feel it's gonna take me some time to get that algorithm. I need it to get whittled down. Right now it's either too big or wrong. So we're gonna have to whittle that thing down.
Okay, so like when you say you got TikTok, are you posting on TikTok or are you just doing it just to see what's on TikTok?
I'm on it right now just to see. I'll probably post eventually. I'm going to post eventually.
Okay.
I won't be a stranger on there.
I think you could have a real good presence on TikTok.
Thanks, man.
And it's not hard. It's not hard. All you got to do is pick up the phone and press record. pick up the phone and press record.
You know what? I appreciate that it's that easy to say. I'm a little I'm just young enough to be dangerous when it comes to TikTok, and just curious enough to be dangerous. I'm willing to let others who are better at it do it for me, but I also understand the importance of the medium. So that's kind of where I am. And I'm moving toward the creator camp, you know, the Ingles video I did a few weeks ago. That was the first time I ever did anything that required significant editing. Normally, I'm just a one-take guy.
Yeah.
So we do that. So I'm learning. We're getting it fine-tuned here where we can have a legitimate presence this athletic season.
I will say I do appreciate when social media people have raw medium or raw media. I guess it takes a level of skill. Where you don't basically have to cut videos in between. You just do it all in one take. So I appreciate raw media.
Faxon is already in on the Adams Curving text line talking about road trip collabs on TikTok.
That would be quite nice.
We're doing it.
That would be great, actually.
I don't know the women's basketball road schedule, but there are some road venues where we could really put some good stuff on tape, you know.
Well, the thing is, you already have a head start on the Roar social media page.
Great point.
So you're plastered all over there. So I mean, pretty much you've got a pretty good head start.
I am looking at the women's basketball schedule, and if y'all know, and I refresh these schedules a lot. We have Clemson at Kentucky on Thursday, December 3rd. That's about all we have right now. You feeling good though? You feeling frisky today? Like you got what kind of headspace we in, Keanu?
I'm kind of in a chill vibe right now. I could really talk about anything. I could really say anything. So that might be dangerous in itself, but frisky, yeah. Risky a little bit. I'm ready to go.
All right. I need to do this. I'm a big on the early days of Pardon the Interruption, they would Tony Reale, who hosted Around the Horn. I love those two shows, by the way. Absolutely love them. Loved Around the Horn, past tense. Love, Pardon the Interruption, present tense. But when those were new, Tony Reale was like the intern or whatever. Like he was called Stat Boy. They called him Stat Boy. And he would fact check Wilbon and Kornheiser in real time. And so at the end of the show, they would do like fact checks. They would basically do an apology segment where he would be like, no real issues today, Tony. No, Jim Kelly did not throw for 1 trillion yards. That was obviously right. You know, he'd do something like that where he would, you know, it'd be funny. Sometimes it required some fact-checking. And I'm tired of having to fact-check myself here, okay? Okay. Tired of having to fact-check myself on the show. I did show up in a red shirt today. The Reds are playing. When I left my house, it was 210. I think now they're going to start at like 110. I don't know if they're catching weather. I don't know if they expect tens of people in Chicago today. I have no idea why they're able to just bump a game up like that willy-nilly. But I'm here for it. Game might be over before I leave here today. That would be nice. And with the Reds, it may be over about the fifth inning.
Well, I was just about to say your Cincinnati Reds aren't doing too hot this season.
Not great. Thanks for the reminder.
I'm sorry. I was looking through the standings earlier today, and I look at it and I go, you know, Quark's a Cincinnati Reds fan, so I look. Top five team? Nah, I don't see top five. Top ten? I don't see. Where they at? I look a bit, little bit down lower, and that's where I see them.
Way lower.
They've made their statement this year.
Way lower. Yeah. Statement. Yeah, we've heard it. We heard the statement that they made. last night, 2 hits, and I believe 14 strikeouts. Let me see. Oh, 13 strikeouts. Sorry. 3 hits and 13 strikeouts. Sal Stewart had both hits. 2 hits, 13 strikeouts. Sal Stewart had both hits. Everybody else on the Reds combined no hits, 12 strikeouts last night against Luis Castillo, who used to pitch for the Reds as about a 5 ERA guy, and 7 innings of 1-hit ball with 2 walks and 10 strikeouts, lowered his ERA to 4.96. Brutal. Did I watch a bunch?
You did.
I did. Okay. I did. I mean, they came back from 4-1 and ruined Pope Hat Night the night before, so what could you expect? 2 good nights in a row? Pff, no, not at all. Really, why I bring it up, though, is that former Red Tyler Malley, I said I hated the Braves bringing him in. I hated it. I've watched this thing before. I've watched the guy pitch for years. He's totally broken all the time. It's either, is he broken enough to be injured, or is he broken enough to be dangerous for your team to go out there and pitch? There was an interesting stat because he does, like, every now and then he will come up with an absolute gem. But he gets absolutely crushed. It's either absolute gem or absolutely crushed, and it's been like that really for years for Tyler Malley. And so I looked this up yesterday. In his Braves debut, he gave up 0 earned runs. Shutout, okay? Not 9-inning shutout, but, you know, we're lowering the bar here just to make a statement. That was his 6th shutout of the year. In the previous 5 starts following shutouts, Tyler Malley allowed 4 or more earned runs in all of them, okay? So he never follows up like a 0, hanging a 0 for 5+ innings. He never follows it up with a really good start. So I tweeted the numbers. Look, the numbers don't lie. Now, the numbers did end up being sort of along the lines of what I've been saying with Tyler Malley, you can't trust him. If you're trying to get that guy through a game 2 of a playoff series, you won't even get him there. His body will totally break, and he won't even be available. Now, I got to say, I feel like I should apologize to Braves fans because you all didn't study the career of Tyler Malley. You all needed me to study the career of Tyler. I've been watching this guy up close for years. He broke in with the Reds, traded him to the Twins. He basically didn't pitch for the next 2 years. He was very good in the first half. For the Giants, I talked about, he averaged like 8 starts a season for the past 3 years until this year. He's finally been pretty healthy. And so I just thought, you're playing with fire here. Well, it turns out you're not playing with fire, Braves fans. You're cooking with gas is what it is. Tyler Malley, in his 2 starts with the Atlanta Braves combined, phenomenal. Phenomenal stuff. Combined, this guy has gone 12 innings. He's given up 1 earned run on 7 hits with 2 walks and 16 strikeouts in 12
Ooh.
Innings. This guy has been exactly the number 2 starter.
Okay.
That the Braves fans were mad that they didn't get, and that William Quagmire told Braves fans they could be a little perturbed about. Now, the more that's come out about Jacob DeGrom, they almost didn't get Tyler Malley. They basically put all their eggs in the Jacob DeGrom basket and decided, we're not going after anybody else of that. We're not going to go after Casey Mize like it's Jacob DeGrom. we can get Tyler Mahle for pennies on the dollar, and maybe he's like, you know, bargain basement Casey Mize or bargain basement Jacob DeGrom. Turns out pretty good as of now. So I'll just say I apologize. I feel I misrepresented this guy to Braves fans who needed a more accurate portrayal.
Well, it seems like he's doing pretty good with the statistics that you've given me. He's making some headway, so I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe blows up next star, and I'll just rescind all of this.
So what you're saying is he's good right now, but in the future, pretty much possibly not really.
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Okay.
My principle still applies. It's like winding a Jack in the Box or, you know, messing around on the side of a volcano.
So basically, okay? Just don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. It didn't erupt today, but just it doesn't mean it's not going to erupt tomorrow.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
That's what we're saying. The Braves did win a series against the New York Mets for the first time this year.
I saw that. I was very surprised. Very surprised, especially against the New York Mets.
73-48. The Braves are one game back of the Brewers. And they are now tied with the Dodgers. Now, I want to say this before we go to break.
Okay.
And we've already gotten a text about Jaden Daniels. We're getting there. Don't worry. I need to apologize for Tyler Mahle slander first. Don't misunderstand what the Dodgers are doing, okay? I just need everyone to pay attention. This is not my Tyler Mahle take. This will come true. The Dodgers, among all the other reasons you can absolutely hate the Dodgers in every way, shape, and form, one of the things that they do is that they milk injuries with pitchers. They've been doing it for years. Under this administration, owners, GM, like all of these folks, they have manipulated injuries to basically rest their guys. They use a million pitchers, and their rotation sometimes looks horrible. You're like, how in the world with that payroll are you running these guys out as starting pitchers? So Blake Snell comes back, and Blake Snell is like throwing gas. I mean, he's throwing BBs. He looks phenomenal. Well, Blake Snell also is prone to injury. So what did they do? They milked a 3-week injury for like 2 months. They manipulated the injuries and they manipulate the timetables in what I would consider borderline unethical ways. It's not against the rules, but it's frowned upon. And if you listen to broadcasters of other teams call Dodgers games, the really astute ones will point this out. Like the color commentators will say, like, oh, this guy, you know, seemed like a 3-week injury, but he's been, you know, he's spent about 6 weeks out. You know, it's interesting. That happens a lot with, you know, you'll hear those types of things about the Dodgers.
Okay.
So people are talking about the Dodgers like they stink right now and they're not very good. Well, they've won 3 in a row. They're basically just holding their guys back so they can bring them back in September or work them in right about now, and they're going to sprint to the finish. So there's all this stuff about, oh, the Dodgers, everybody's worried about the Dodgers. Well, all they do is lose now. Don't be deceived. They're borderline losing on purpose right now so that they can sprint from September 1 to the World Series.
This sounds like typical Dodger play to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just add it to the list, all right? Add it to the list of reasons it's not like the Dodgers. This is not a new thing, by the way. It's not a thing that people talk about because you can't prove it. But it is a thing that is sort of wink nod known around baseball circles. This is who the Dodgers are. This is what the Dodgers do.
So am I hearing that you hate the Dodgers? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes.
Give me the reason of why you hate the Dodgers.
I hate the Dodgers because they have a loophole that makes them more wealthy than everybody else perpetually over and over again. They use that loophole because their previous ownership went bankrupt. And so they've had this cushy deal where they get 9 figures more in media revenue than everybody else and don't have to share it. And the unethical stuff about the injured list and the fact that they just create their own market for players that nobody else can play in. I don't like teams that can, you know, when everybody's playing the same sandbox, that have the opportunity to make their own sandbox. I think that's ridiculous.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I don't like that.
That's a fair reason. That's a fair statement to say that you hate the Dodgers. I understand that.
Also, they've won the last 2 World Series.
Oh, that's so also there, a plus. Yeah.
That was it. All right, short break. When we come back, we have to talk about the Jaden Daniels thing. I know it's not game-related.
But I love to talk about this.
I'm not sure people are going to care about it next week. I think LSU fans will care about it till they die, I think. We're going to talk about that. 654 Roar is a number. Back in a flash.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Fern Street, right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Basically, the four teams at the top are separated by, I believe it's three games right now in the playoff race. And that is very true. The Brewers are 74-47, the Braves and Dodgers 73-48, and then the Cubs 71-50, who are really playing the best baseball of anybody in the National League. And so those are the four teams that are at the top. Phillies, Padres, Marlins, Diamondbacks, all in the mix for those final couple of wild card spots. You could loosely include the Nationals in that. I'll throw the Cardinals into that as well. I think the Cardinals probably maybe even more so than the Nationals right now. But those are the teams that you're kind of tracking at this point. Okay. You look at strength of schedule. This is another thing with the Dodgers. Okay. You look at strength of schedule remaining. My Reds have the toughest remaining schedule of anybody.
You can go ahead and kiss them goodnight.
Oh, yeah. 550 strength of schedule for their remaining opponents.
Shoo!
They have 40 games remaining after today. Okay? I think that's right. Let me double-check that real quick. They have, after today, they have 42 games left. This is game 120 for them.
Okay.
22 of those games are against the Dodgers, Brewers, Braves, or Cubs.
Oh, my God.
More than half. Those are the four best teams in the National
League. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. So, not only that, they also have three against the Padres, who are another playoff team. So, 25 of the last 42 games against playoff teams. That's very tough. 2, 3, and 4 are the Cubs, Braves, and Brewers. Okay? So, the Braves, so you're asking me to break down this race. There's not a whole lot of difference between the strength of schedules of these three teams. There's not a lot of cushy series. Milwaukee has the most series remaining against teams with losing records. The Braves have 5, I believe. The Brewers have 6, and the Cubs have 4. They all have relatively difficult series against teams with winning records as well. And you could kind of, you know, like the Brewers had to play the Cubs 7 times, the Braves had to play the Phillies 7 times, that kind of stuff. The Dodgers are down at 17. Their opponent's strength of schedule remaining is below 500. So if you're asking me to break down this race, I would say that the Dodgers, because of their cushy schedule, they still have 6 games left with the Giants. They still have 7 games left with the Reds, who aren't very good. You have 4 series right there that they should roll. They really should roll both of those teams, probably losing a max of 4 games, maybe 5. You go 8-5 in those series, probably 9-4 in those series. That gets you a leg up on the Cubs, Braves, and Brewers. So I would still expect the Dodgers to be number one. Like I said, they should close strong in September unless everyone gets broken. The Cubs are playing good ball, but I think the Braves are better. I think the Braves will end up in a better spot than the Brewers if their pitching continues to give them what it's given them. And, you know, you've got injuries in and out and things like that, but the Brewers win a lot of games like 4-2, and it just feels like there's going to be a little regression for that. You're not going 162, winning every game 4-2 by stealing 9 bases and hitting 4 infield hits.
Okay,
you can't do that. That's what the Brewers are. Text from the 843 says, as a Braves fan, do you want to avoid being third in the National League and actually having to play that first round of the playoffs, or would you rather play that first round and keep rhythm? I personally hate the break going into the playoffs. There are cons either way. I understand the people that look at some of the data and say it feels like teams that win that first series end up maybe having a little bit of a leg up in some of the same way as like a conference basketball tournament, where if you play a game, then you show up at the gym, you might have a little bit of an easier time in that first half. While the other team gets its sea legs and its bearings and the sight lines and all that stuff, you've already played in that environment one time. You have a bit of an advantage there. So I understand that. I still wouldn't play with fire on this, and here's why. Every time you play a playoff series is a chance to get beat. If you're the number 2 seed, you already advance a round. I'm looking at some of the teams that could be 6 in the National League. Do you want to play the Phillies in a five-game series or in a three-game series?
I prefer not.
Do you want to play the Padres in a three-game series?
I wouldn't do that either.
Like, I understand what people are saying here. I get it. I understand that you go, you know what, let's play in this earlier round so that we can get to the end. I'm just saying there's no guarantee you get out of the first round if you're the number three seed. Now, you're better than those teams. Don't get me wrong. And no matter who you play in the next round, let's say you get through it, whether you're the two or the three seed, that's just about home field. Personally, if I'm playing the Brewers, let's say, I would rather have home field advantage against the Brewers instead of having to go to Milwaukee and play after already having played. Because the Brewers pitching is pretty good. I would also point this out, though. The Brewers formula doesn't work that well in the postseason. If you're the two seed and the Brewers are the three playing the six, there's a great chance that the six beats them. And then you have an opportunity to face a worse team, which you would like. I think you still try to get the two. Well, you try to get the one. I mean, you're within striking distance of the Dodgers. An injury could move every team from the winning category to the losing category or in the middle. It could do that at any point in time. Doesn't really matter. So I would suggest, I understand the math here. I understand what people are talking about there. Personally, I'd like to keep playing and be whatever. I say try to win as many games in the regular season and then play the best that you can. See what happens. But I never want to play around earlier than somebody else because it means I get beat quicker.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Let's talk about trade-offs. Can we do that?
Okay.
Let's talk about trade-offs. I'm a parent, Keanu. I'm a parent of one. Okay, I have 1 2-year-old daughter. Okay. I grew up in a house of four. One of the things we say all the time about, I was the firstborn. One of the things that firstborn say all the time is that, you know, our parents were way more strict with us.
Very.
Way more. You got siblings?
I have four of them.
Okay, so you were five. Where were you on the...
I'm the oldest.
Okay, so you know about the oldest child.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. The way that my mom treats my younger siblings is complete 180 of how she treated me.
Now, I would say the trade-off there is you get more attention, but you also have more rules and you're a little bit stricter.
You're the standard.
Right. So then when other siblings come along, here's what happens. I'm told, okay, and I'm filing this away, but here's what I'm told. I'm told that you have to pay more attention to trade-offs. Another way you say this is you have to choose your battles. So you can't fight every battle for every kid, especially if you have younger kids at one time. You have to kind of be like, is it that bad that she's got that thing in her mouth? Because I'm going to have to deal with something major later, like she's running with scissors, okay? And I can't say no to every little thing. So we'll let that one slide for right now. If it becomes a problem, then we can, you know, we can figure it out. We can, you know, we'll deal with it then.
At what point would you want to nip it in the bud before it progresses to something bigger, though?
Well, and that's the thing. You always are trying to run the calculation here, okay? You're doing the risk reward.
Okay.
Right? Do I really want to worry about this thing, or do I want to wait and see if it gets worse? And then the risk gets higher, so we're gonna actually deal with that because I got other mouths to feed. I got other people with other problems, especially if the kids are younger and require more attention. That's what I'm told about parenting, okay? And that brings us to Jaden Daniels, who picked one of the dumbest battles that I have ever seen an athlete pick because it is so nonsensical and so unnecessary and so ridiculous on its face that there is nothing, zero things that can benefit you from the battle that he picked. If you missed it, Jaden Daniels has delivered a cease and desist to LSU because they allowed DJ Pickett, former five-star cornerback, to use his number five. Now, it's interesting that he called it his number five. They are essentially filing a legal notice of a wink, nod, handshake agreement, which is ridiculous, by the way. We know that that's not anything, right? A wink, nod, handshake agreement. the coach that you had that agreement with isn't there. The AD you had that agreement with isn't there. All the people aren't there. How are you supposed to know?
That's what you call a Southern deal. Old Southern men basically going making deals based off the shaking of the hand, pretty much. Like, it's your word against theirs, pretty much.
And listen, Jaden Daniels has a right to be upset, I believe, if he was told no one will wear your number. If that's what he was told, no one will wear your number, and then somebody wore his number. Now, the problem is that his number was promised to DJ Pickett by Brian Kelly's staff. So the same staff, the same head coach, stop me where you're shocked that Brian Kelly might have talked out of both sides of his mouth on this. The same coach that told Jaden Daniels nobody's wearing five is telling DJ Pickett if you come here, you can wear five. He's doing this, forked tongue, different sides of his mouth, right? So I get that Jaden Daniels feels betrayed. He feels lied to here. This is the problem. He says that LSU can't use his name, image, and likeness because somebody else wore five. And that's where I'm out. That's where I'm out, okay? Because Jaden Daniels wants his number pre-retired. Let me just set this up. Billy Cannon's jersey number has been retired at LSU. Nobody can wear 20. As I understand it, nobody else's number is retired. They have jerseys hanging in football, but they don't have numbers retired. You got 110 scholarship players now. There's only 100 numbers, unless you go double zero. You're going to start putting 105 on the back of jerseys? 672? Like, what is that? You got to be a little bit understanding here of the situation. A lot of double numbers on these teams, Keanu. And then there's also a clause at LSU that says if your jersey is retired after 2007, it can still be worn. So they're not retiring numbers. That's like a school policy.
This situation to me just doesn't make sense. Like, the deal was a wink and shake basic deal, but the number was technically not retired, and it was promised by Brian Kelly. So it's just a weird situation, and I just don't like it.
I'm going to read you some of the quotes and some of the particulars here. And I really think if you're a fan of LSU, there are some folks online today that are telling you this will be a non-story in a week. And I think it will be a non-story in a week, maybe even by the weekend. But LSU fans will not forget this. And I'm going to talk about it when we come back. 654-ROAR is the number. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
The sports world never stops spinning. We bring order to the athletic calendar.
From sunup to sundown,
we've got you covered with the most up-to-date sports talk on the airwaves.
105.5, 97.5, the Roar.
Athletics, the athlete himself or herself is actually like a good person, and you've got adults who are acting like children. That happens probably a lot more than people realize. And the negative feelings that we have go toward the player, because that's who we see, when really it should go toward other folks trying to ride that gravy train. And trying to, honestly, they feel like, in a lot of cases, I'm sure they feel like they've got the best interest of that player at heart. Because, you know, they're young, they're 18, 19, 20, they don't understand, we got to protect them, that kind of stuff. Here's the quote for Jaden Daniels, okay? The quote from the spokesperson for the family. This is what it says. The Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player. Stop. Time out. Whose number? I'm sorry, it's Jaden's number. Was Jaden the first one to have it?
I didn't know he owned it, honestly.
Do you know who wore Jaden Daniels' number before Jaden Daniels? Any guesses? What if I told you it was a quarterback that wore Jaden Daniels' number before Jaden Daniels?
Go ahead and give it to me.
What if I told you Garrett Nussmeier, who played like a season and a half more at LSU than Jaden Daniels did in terms of games, had a really good LSU career, incredibly gifted player. We know that. What if I told you that Garrett Nussmeier wore 5? Keanu, I think some folks would be stunned at that. I think some folks would be upset about that, perhaps. Garrett Nussmeier, now, he changed numbers, okay? He wore 5, 13, and 18, but he wore 5 before Jaden Daniels got there, okay? And then he played, I said he was there before, and he was there before Jaden Daniels. Of course, we know he's played the last 2 years at quarterback, 24 and 25. So he played after Jaden Daniels. But he wore 5 before Jaden Daniels got there. So doesn't Garrett Nussmeier, 2021, have a claim to the number 5?
Apparently so.
Like, does Jaden Daniels, it's Jaden's number. And that, honestly, that's where we could stop this statement. Because LSU football means so much more than Jaden Daniels. What did you do? Listen, I picked Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman, and that's the anti-Adrian Martinez. If you know, you know, all right? I said that Adrian Martinez is going to win the Heisman at Nebraska, and it's going to get brought up at the college football kickoff show in 2 weeks from today. Look it up. You should join us. It's going to get brought up again because it was a hilarious take. It was awful. But I predicted Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman. He won it. Great triumph for me. Who are you? LSU had multiple Heisman Trophy winners before Jaden Daniels, including a quarterback that won it a mere 4 years before Jaden Daniels got to LSU. Who are you? Billy Cannon won the Heisman and won a national title. You didn't do that. Joe Burrow won the Heisman and a national title. You didn't do that. Who are you? Whose number exactly? See, this is where I get really hot and bothered. Because you know who that number belongs to? It belongs to LSU. It's not your number. If somebody wants to protect that number from other people, that's LSU's call. All right? Clemson has done that with other numbers in the past. Remember Deshaun Watson got to wear 4 because Steve Fuller's 4 was sort of removed, and then they allowed, it was Steve Fuller's blessing, allowed Deshaun Watson to wear. Same thing with C.J. Spiller's 28. It was pulled back. Tavian Feaster comes in. They give it to Feaster. It's happened a couple times. That happens from time to time. But that's the school's prerogative, and they sort of check in with the player. You don't get to demand that. The school makes the choice whether we're going to remove it, whether we're going to honor you, whatever. And I believe that Jaden Daniels would have been honored eventually by LSU. But not now. Not right now. Not after this little temper tantrum. Because whose number is it? It ain't yours. Right now it's DJ Pickett's number. I hope DJ Pickett freaking balls out. I hope he has a better season than Daniels. I hope Daniels has an awful career. I'm just going to be honest. I hope he has an awful career.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope he has a terrible career. This is ridiculous, okay? This is ridiculous. This is the kind of thing that right now in this era that needs to be made an example of. LSU needs to laugh at this. Somebody at LSU needs to hold up the statement and rip it in half at a podium and say, we're not putting up with this nonsense. No player is above the illustrious history of our program. You're the one that tanked your career at Arizona State, and we rescued you. You are who you are because we did this. You don't get to act like you saved us because you made the freaking Citrus Bowl and the ReliaQuest Bowl. Congratulations. Matt Mauck could have done that. Rohan Davey could have done that. Joe Burrow certainly did that and much more. Any idiot could do that at LSU. Jaden Daniels had a great individual season, but it doesn't mean that he now owns a piece of the program. That is LSU's. I talked about this with the baseball strike earlier. The pending strike, the lockout that's coming. And people trying to pin fans down. This is another example of that, where people are going to try to tell you, a fan, that you have to either side with LSU's administration here, which didn't handle this great. If they promised Daniels that nobody was going to wear his number and then somebody 2 years later is wearing his number, that's not great, okay? It's 3 years later. And you have Daniels on the other side that's not handling this great, obviously. Fans have a right to a third path. You don't have to back administration or back Daniels. What does the fan think? And LSU fans are saying, who are you? Great season. Congratulations. We've seen better. Or we've seen seasons that look like this. Here's what the statement continues. It says, Jaden and his family had every reason to believe that his number would remain a meaningful part of his LSU legacy and will be honored and protected in recognition of his extraordinary contributions to the university. Bro, you were there 2 years. This is another thing I can't stand. In this culture, you get two choices if you're an athlete. You get to be protected, revered, exalted in your program, or you get to be an indentured, hired hand. You either get to go for the glory or you get to go for the paycheck. But you don't get both. You're not entitled to both. We're doing the portal thing, but you don't get treated the same as somebody who was recruited, went all the way, and gave everything they have for LSU. You can't play it that way. He was at Arizona State longer than he was at LSU. Why would LSU care about his meaningful contributions that put zero in the trophy case? Congratulations on the Heisman. Again, Joe Burrow did that with Ed Orgeron. LSU can do that. Brian Kelly's the only head coach at LSU in the last four that hasn't won a national championship. Jaden Daniels couldn't win it. Look, and I know the defense had something to do with it. I know there were issues there. Bottom line, though, Jaden Daniels didn't do anything at LSU meaningfully that nobody else has done.
I think Texture says that this is selfish and irresponsible, and I completely agree. I couldn't agree any less. I just don't understand the whole gimmick of basically saying this is the number that I want, and I want it because that's what you promised to me. Excuse me. You traded to LSU. You entered the transfer portal and you went to LSU. Now, you had a great season, impeccable season. You won the Heisman. But when you start asking for stuff or valuing yourself over the team, over the season, you're basically making it seem like you were the only player that played very well that season.
You know, the other part of this, The statement continues. The other part of this I have a real issue with, and this goes across the board, but also in this specific instance. Jaden made it clear that he did not want his number given to another player, and he believed his wishes would be respected. His Heisman Trophy winning season and everything he accomplished on and off the field cemented his place in LSU history. To see his number given to another player is incredibly disappointing and feels like a failure to honor the significance of what Jaden accomplished at LSU, end quote. So does that mean that any player whose number is worn by a subsequent player is irrelevant to the history of the program? Is that what I'm supposed to believe?
I mean, I hope not.
Well, that's the argument there.
That's what they're making.
If anybody ever wears your number ever again, it's the ultimate sign of disrespect. And who gets to dictate those terms? It's Jaden Daniels.
Apparently Jaden Daniels.
Jaden made it clear that he did not want his number given to another player. The audacity of asking that. I can't even get myself there. This is a generational thing, I think. I've said this about young, and listen, you might have to mute your mic on this, okay? Because it's not, look, you're a great young man, okay? You're an awesome person. But young people today have the audacity to ask for things that I knew better than to ask for.
That is, from my perspective in my generation, I will say that is a very audacious thing to ask. And that just gives the sense of entitlement. And an entitlement is not something that you want sitting next to your name.
I mean, the audacity to be like in your early 20s and to be like, you know, I've done a lot of great things. I'm telling you that you better not give my number out to anybody is absurd. The honor is given. Jersey retirements are given. Number retirements are given. Hall of Fame inductions are given. Ring of Honor inductions are given. Given. Lifetime Achievement Awards are given. You don't ask for those. You get them. They are given by somebody to you. You don't walk out of LSU as a hired hand for 2 years. You don't walk out of LSU with a list of demands about how they will honor your legacy. What is that? If I'm a fan of LSU, that pisses me off more than anything else is that the audacity of this guy to demand walking out the door what you're going to do with the number he wore is absurd. We'll come back for more in hour two. We'll go to the phones right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at Breeze Airways. I've talked about this many times. This is it's a pretty new airline. I mean, we're talking 5 or 6 years old, but it has grown steadily over time. And now they have 10 nonstop routes, including St. Petersburg and Cincinnati, which have just rolled off in the last few weeks, out of GSP.